A number of years ago, my older sister, was graduating from college down in Tennessee. And I was living in Ohio at the time, and I decided that I wanted to try to go and be there for it. And so I took a plane to go visit her in Tennessee to see her graduate. And I had a window seat, and I was already seated. And there was, as people continue to file into the plane and they find their seats, there was a row of three right in front of me, and there was a young couple and a little boy about 5 or 6 years old who was filling into that row right in front of me. And that boy was absolutely thrilled. He was so excited to sit by the window. He couldn't wait to get next to that window and look out. It was his first time on a plane. He was so excited. And so his face is glued to the window, and we're sitting there, we're waiting, and I'm just kind of, doing what I can do to watch this family. It's fun just seeing this boy so excited. And pretty soon, finally, the plane begins to take off, and his face is just glued to that window, looking out. And you could see some airport employees that were still down on the runway, and I could see them too because I was right behind him. And so the plane's taken off, and the people, and you can imagine this, the people are starting to get farther and farther away, and he can see them. And I hear this boy, so excited, say to himself, "Wow, I had no idea people were so small." And I thought, wow, isn't that true? Isn't it true that even us, we often forget how small people really are? And it takes some kind of a big experience. And for that little boy, that experience of that plane lifting off the ground to remind us of just how small we are. It's a simple concept that big things make us feel small. Big things make us feel small. And maybe you've had an experience like this. Maybe it could be as simple as you've gone to Mount Washington and you've looked out over the city and you've just sort of taken a moment to think, wow, how many people actually live here? How big this city really is. And it makes you feel small. Or maybe you've had the opportunity to go to the ocean and you've been standing on the beach and you're looking out over that massive body of water and you just take that time to try to comprehend just how huge this body of water really is, that how deep it really is, what all is out there. And in the moment, you even try to pause and say, there's actually people living somewhere on the other side. And it makes you feel small. Or maybe you've even had an experience like the psalmist, where you go outside, and it's late, the house is quiet, and you look up at the sky, and you just see the stars and all their glory. And there's really nothing you can do except just take it all in. And it makes you feel small. The universe is a big place. I think we can all agree that the universe is a big place. But I think we don't really pause and realize just how big it is. And so humor me for a second. We're going to go back to 8th grade, okay? We're all going to go back to 8th or maybe 9th grade science class and just try to remember some of those things that we learned. How fast is the speed of light? 186,000 miles a second. 186,000 miles a second, which is fast enough that every second it can travel around the Earth 7 times. 7 times. 7 more. Talk about air miles. 7 times. And light comes from where? Flying out of our sun at that ridiculously crazy speed, but it still only takes it 8 minutes to get from the sun to your skin. But the sun is huge. And I brought something to help us try to understand just how big it is. The sun is massive. See, everyone see this? It's a golf ball. I want you to imagine that this is Earth. Somewhere you're on this thing. If Earth were the size of a golf ball, the sun would be about 15 feet in diameter. So that's roughly about the width of this center section right here, okay? Here's Earth. You're on it somewhere. There's the size of the sun. The sun's big. Very big. You don't want to get anywhere near the sun. But, of course, those of you who are paying attention in science class know that the sun's not even the biggest star in the sky, is it? And we're not going to go through all 100 billion of them, but we're going to go to the biggest one that we have been able to identify in our night sky. It's a star that's called Canis Majoris, I don't know Latin, but that's an incredible name for the biggest star in the sky. It means something like big dog, all right? the big dog star, the Canis Majoris. It's a huge star. So, again, if Earth were a golf ball, somewhere you're on this thing, if Earth were a golf ball, Canis Majoris is about the size of Mount Everest. So picture yourself on top of Mount Everest. Congratulations, you've got up, you've got to the top. And you whip out this golf ball. That's Earth. Somewhere you're on it. That's Canis Majoris. Of course, it's only one star out of 100 billion stars in our galaxy. And you all know that we live where? The Milky Way galaxy. That's what we call home. And so when it comes to trying to comprehend the size of the Milky Way galaxy, the golf ball doesn't work anymore. It's too small. It doesn't make sense. So what we have to do is we actually have to take our whole solar system, the sun, and all of the other planets that are in our system, and we're gonna make that about the size of a quarter. Okay? Everyone see this? This is the size of our solar system. If that was the size of our solar system, do you know how big the Milky Way galaxy would be? It would be about the size of the North American continent. So drop this somewhere in the middle of Kansas, and then step back and see all of North America. Find this is your solar system, then find Earth and somewhere we're on it. Do you feel small? Do you feel small? Friends, what I'm trying to let you know is that it's more than just a feeling. I don't want you to just feel small. I want you to know that you are small. It's more than just a feeling. It's a fact. You're small. We're small. We are ridiculously small in this great, grand universe. And when we pause and just think about how small we really are, doesn't the cry of the psalmist even ring all the more true? What are humans? You're even mindful of us. God, what is humanity really? Why do you even care? Why do you even bother to pay attention to us? Look how small we are. Why do you even take the time to glance our way? And it can make us feel very, very, very insignificant, meaningless, small. Did you know that Wikipedia even has an article on insignificance? It has an article on everything. And insignificance, according to Wikipedia, says that this is a feeling that many people experience often from living in a huge city, from comparing themselves to wealthy or popular or powerful celebrities, from working in a huge bureaucracy, or in being in awe of natural wonder. We can often feel insignificant when we pause and realize just how small we are. Friends, the radicalness of the God that we worship is that God does not equate being small with being insignificant. The God who created every single galaxy, every single star inside every single galaxy, is the same God that comes to us, looks at us, looks us straight in the eye, and says, I know you're small. You don't have to tell me. I know. I know what you're feeling. I know what you're going through. I know you're small. I made you small. Remember, this is my world. I am the creator. I am the one who put every star in its place. I am the one who knows how big Canis Majoris really is. I'm the one who knows how many galaxies are out there. I don't have to call the universe the known universe because I know all of it. I am the God who made this world, and I know you. I know what you're going through. I know how small you feel sometimes. But I have chosen to give you something. To give you something that takes you out of that feeling of insignificance, out of the reality of feeling small and insignificant, that gives you meaning. I have chosen to give you something that you will wrap you up in a feeling of knowing that I can do something in this world, that I matter, that I have purpose, that I have meaning. And what is that thing? What is it that God has given us? Dominion. The psalmist says, you have given us dominion over this world. Dominion. What is dominion? It's a royal term. A word of referring to what it means to rule, what it means to be over, to oversee something. And according to the Psalm 8, God has given us dominion to rule over this world. That is an element of where we find our meaning. He has given us this incredible amount of power and responsibility, for better or for worse, to care and rule over what this world is and what it's going to be and what it means to live here, what it's going to do and what God is doing in this world. He has asked us to be His representatives. He's given us responsibility to rule. If you give someone the keys to your car, you are giving them an incredible amount of power and responsibility, for better or for worse. And God has given each and every one of us power and responsibility to rule, to have dominion, to rule over creation, to care for it, to sustain it, to govern it, to lead it into a beautiful place, to make it a place where flourishing happens for all. Friends, this is much deeper than just environmentalism. It's much, much deeper. Though it includes it, it by all means includes being conscious of how we're taking care of our planet, but it goes so much farther than that. So much farther. This is about how we rule. This is about the way that we rule. This is about the choices that we make. We have been given power and responsibility with profound implications. We are partners with God in caring for our world, and He has chosen us to share His dominion with us. And the question that we each have to ask is, are we going to use that dominion, or are we going to abuse it? Are we going to use it or abuse it? And maybe you're sitting there and you're wondering, well, how? What does this even mean? What do you mean, Pastor Ben? What are you talking about, ruling over this world? I don't understand. What does that even mean? I still don't feel like I have much sense of meaning or purpose right now. Great, God has given me the keys to some car. I don't know how to drive. As a starting point, I want you to pause and I want you to think about everything that you do any given day. What are routine tasks? Who are people in your life that you talk to? What are places that you go? Things that you have to accomplish? What's on your to-do list? And I want to invite you to rethink the approach to accomplishing all of those things. As a starting point, I want to invite you to rethink the meaning of all of the work that you do. Everything. And I want you to rethink those terms and redefine those terms like this. All of the work that you do be defined as this: rearranging the particulars. Rearranging the particulars for the flourishing of everyone. Rearranging the particulars for the flourishing of everyone. Are you willing to see all of the tasks that you accomplish as rearranging things that brings flourishing for all? Everything, from washing the laundry to writing an email, from serving as an usher to cooking for the neighborhood table, from teaching a class to even mowing the lawn. Are you willing to see that those are examples of rearranging the particulars of a certain domain? When you do the dishes, what are you doing? You're rearranging particulars. You're taking those particular dirty pieces of food, removing them from that plate, putting soap and water, making that dish clean again. But why? For the flourishing of everyone, so that one day that dish might be used again, so that someone can enjoy a meal and experience what it means to have community. It's sitting around the table and talking. If you never do the dishes, flourishing doesn't happen because there's no dishes to eat on. Can you apply that to all of the work that you do? The way that you even make decisions, from mowing the lawn to being an usher to serving in worship to driving downtown to choices that you use, how you choose to buy certain things, the clothes that you wear, the way you raise your children, the way you babysit. Can you see those things as rearranging the particulars for the flourishing of everyone, exercising your God-given dominion to rule over this world? Even though we're small, we have meaning. we still have meaning, and God has given us a responsibility to rule over this world. And the question is, are we going to use it? Are we going to enter in? How are you contributing to the flourishing of this world? How are you contributing to the flourishing of all in your domain? What is the work that you do? And how are you exercising your dominion through it? Know that you have meaning. You have responsibility. Though we are small, we have purpose. And may we cry out with the psalmist and remember that though God is great, and though we are small, He has taken the time to consider us and calls us to rule alongside with Him for the flourishing of all. And with that, let's join our voices together and pray this ancient prayer once more.